Welcome to the House Geeks Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, Network Title, iLoan Home Mortgage, and Country Financial, with our great agent over there, James Tolson. Today, we are going to be talking about buying rental properties. If you have any questions for us about this, you can give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Also, make sure you check us out after the show online at housegeeks.com and follow us on our Facebook page where you can watch us record live most Tuesdays around the noon hour and also see upcoming classes and events. We typically try to do a home buyers class about once a month, and also working on a home sellers class soon. So, well, thank you, Chad, for replaying our recording as I'm recording it. Okay, so today's show, buying rental properties, as I said. So we get, I don't know, I would say we do a fair amount of marketing utilizing sites like Zillow and Trulia. And what would you say, Chad, is our percentage of people that are calling or inquiring because they're looking at purchasing as a rental property?
I would say 15 to 20%, maybe 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 to 1 in 6.
Depending on the month. The slower times of year, it tends to be more of the conversations. I've seen it as high as 50% of the time, depending, especially with the foreclosure properties.
Absolutely.
The more premier properties, not quite as often on that. But definitely with the foreclosures, it's a pretty high percentage of people that are inquiring. And, you know, when we're dealing with maybe 5 to 6 inquiries a day, that's a fair amount of people that are inquiring regarding rentals. But at the end of the day, I mean, what would you say your actual percentage of clients are investors?
Less than 5.
Yeah. I'd say that's probably right about right for me, too.
So, you know, what we can take from that is for the majority of people, the idea of being a landlord tends to be a little better than the reality of being a landlord. Now, we're not trying to talk you out of it because it can be a lucrative and stable financial decision if well thought out and done under guidance.
Yeah, in my opinion.
And if you know what to expect.
Yeah, in my opinion, one of the best, you know, well, as far as percentages of return that you can expect. But I think, like you say, it's this idea, the glamour, I'm going to own rental properties. You know?
And then I'm going to get a big check every month that I can go out and spend on fun stuff.
Yes. Well, so, you know, how do you do this? First thing is to identify your goals. The goals should be to make money. Mm-hmm. That should be the goal, right?
Because your primary goal.
If you're not making money, it's going to be a slow burn, and you're probably going to end up having to dump the property. And so what does this mean by making money? It's looking at it for, is there equity potential? Is there appreciation potential? And is there good cash flow on the property? And you want to make sure you have all these things working for you. So a lot of these calls that we get are this, hey, this house down the street, it's a foreclosure. I've been watching it for months. I want to buy it. I want to buy it as a rental property. More than likely, it's not going to work. It's going to sell for more than you could rent it for and get a good cash flow. Now, obviously, the more money you throw at a property, the more cash flow that you can get. But you also don't want to tie yourself up too much within one given rental property. Because if your goal is to make money at doing this, you want to spread your wings as wide as you can and purchase multiple rental properties.
That's a call we get quite often. Is somebody sees a foreclosed home in or around their neighborhood, and they're interested in that property and that property only. What's strange about that is they're focusing on one property rather than the inventory of properties that are available. And it just doesn't...
I could probably, with the confidence of 99.995% of the time, say that the home down the street is not a good rental property, but I guarantee I can show you some good ones,
mm-hmm.
Right?
And so, very few properties would make good rental properties.
Right. A majority...
You have to comb through quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, when you break it down, it's probably a half a percent of all listings might be good ones that are workable. So you identify the goals of making money, and then it's taking the emotions out of it. So a lot of the reasons for this emotion of, oh, let's do it down the street, is because it's easy. You know what? The only thing that's easy about it is you have to walk down there versus drive somewhere. It's not going to be any easier. You're going to still have the same maintenance headaches. You're probably going to have higher expenses. There really isn't much more ease to it.
And as a matter of fact, after you get a property or two or three, as you get more, you're more likely to hire a property manager that will handle the majority of the scheduling of appointments and getting tenants in and collecting checks and that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, you need to remove yourself to a certain part of this, because you're going to have people that try to take advantage of you if they know that you're the owner. So there has to be some separation, and that's where a property manager can be really beneficial. So you identify the goals. The goals are making money. You take the emotions out of the process, okay? So you do this. Why? Because if you take the emotions out of the process, then it's a pure mathematical decision. Okay, and in the next segment, we'll get in more to how we do that. But you make that decision there. So you got to be willing that the price points that you were thinking may change. And I bet you, for most of you, the price point will actually go down. Okay, because a lot of the time, that's where the cash flow is. You know, we're trying to identify properties, you know, anywhere from, you know, $100,000 maybe for a condo to $175,000 for a single family home. Okay, so that's a pretty tight window there. So that, once again, that house down the street, that foreclosure, does it fit into that box, you know? And there's also calculating per bedroom and things like that. You need to be prepared that the property type might change. Okay, so once again, you're looking at the house down the street. Well, maybe the best decision for a first rental property is actually buying a townhome
or a condo.
Okay, so you need to take in some different things into consideration when looking at that. Now, the pros and cons of buying these different types are that, you know, a condo, you really have no maintenance exterior that you really have to worry about at all. Now, is there going to be a cost to that? Yes, there is in the association dues. You know, so everything is pretty much taken care of with most condos, you know, from windows to doors to garage doors to everything is covered.
Which means that there's less budgeting and risk on your part.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I have a couple investors where that's all they do is buy condos and townhouses. They don't want to worry about replacing siding, replacing roofs. They want something where there's less fluctuating expenses and more predictable cash flow.
Right.
Now, when you buy a condo or a townhouse, the unpredictable part is, will those association dues rise over time?
Mm-hmm.
However, you can check the financials and see where how much they have in reserves and how many projects they have coming up to gauge where the association dues will be in the next couple of years.
The other unpredictable is, are they going to stop allowing rental properties?
Yes.
You know, I've run across that.
Yeah. Now, usually they grandfather the current rentals in, and then there's a waiting list to allow other people to get on if they instill a cap. Some of them completely say, we're not doing any more rentals, but usually the current renters are grandfathered in.
Well, I've seen timelines put on it, too, where they'll say, well, you know, you can rent, but only for another year, and then you got to sell it. So, you know, there's definitely things to think about there. You know, okay, so maybe you've now gone, okay, I'm not going to buy the house down the street. Maybe this condo idea is a good idea. Now area might change, okay? So you got to be prepared to be flexible in this. You know, and the same is true with townhouses. Now, the thing with townhouses is you may be able to get a little more space for the money, but now you are going to become responsible for things like HVAC and windows, garage doors, and be sure that you're really watching that, because some associations actually have you fully responsible for exterior stuff, and it's not included in the association dues. So the whole benefit just went away if you go down that road. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Once again, if you have any questions for us, give us a call, 612-207-5388 and 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. We'll be right back. Kirk Duckwall here with the House Geeks Real Estate Show, Sundays at noon on AM 950. Here with your House Geeks Market Minute. 3.27 is the average number of showings per week per listing in the 200 to 400,000 price range in the Minneapolis area. This is down over last year, but is seasonally expected. This is a main indicator of demand in the marketplace. The current average days on market is at 40. The average sale price is up 6.2% year over year, and the 30-year conventional interest rate is right around 4.54%. This is up 0.2% over last week. The conclusion for buyers: back to school time is also a great time to be out there looking, as competition is still down from other buyers. And for sellers, we expect the market to pick up over the next few weeks, so it's a good time to be getting ready if you're looking to sell. Looking at buying or selling a home in the Twin Cities? Check us out online at housegeeks.com.
My closing is falling apart, my stuff's in a van, I have to rent storage space, and that will cost money I don't plan on spending, and the sellers are threatening to sue. My loan officer never called much, so I thought things were fine. Now I have to start over.
Avoid costly last-minute disasters by choosing an experienced local loan officer. Call iLoan at 877-373-4467 or visit iLoanHomeMortgage.com. iLoan Home Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 4474.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
With school back in session, thank goodness I have my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Seriously, I could not manage my schedule without it. Music lessons, sports practices, school activities, the Sienna is perfect for getting the kiddos to class, hauling instruments and school projects around, or when it's my day to be the team carpool. My Toyota is roomy, comfortable, and has all the safety features I demand for my family. See how a Toyota Sienna can help you tackle your back-to-school schedule. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make, so keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. Today, talking about buying rental properties. If you have any questions for us after the show, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. So we're talking about some of the different styles of rental properties you might be looking at or thinking about as you're going down this path. You get to single family home, of course, then you have a lot more exterior liabilities from lawn care, snow care, siding, roof, all of that. But in return, can have some of the highest rent potential, highest equity growth potential, and highest appreciation.
And if you get a number of them, all of a sudden you get an economy of scale where you can have one person doing the lawn maintenance and the driveway. And you can have a handyman that does a bunch of work for you, so you get discounted prices.
Yep. So, yeah, and depending on how you rent it, a lot of people are responsible for their, you know, the renters are responsible for their own lawn and snow removal. But I have seen situations where you know, an outside company takes care of that as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something else to consider there. Hey, you want more bang for your buck? How about duplexes and triplexes and fourplexes? You know, hey, especially if you're looking for owner occupancy ability, I think, you know, obviously great way to go.
Hindsight being 2020, I really wish I would have gotten a duplex as my first home and done an owner occupied loan on it where I only put 5% or so down and then paid off the mortgage quickly.
You know what? I'm starting to like change my opinion. I mean, there's definitely pros to duplexes. I like the idea of a rambler with a mother-in-law suite in the basement, and you rent to one person, right? Because you can get some pretty good money for those mother-in-law suites. I mean, so all these could be considered.
And there's a predictor that we're going to see more multi-generational living with college students coming back with large debt, and certain cultures tend to have more than one generation living in the home at the same time. And we're seeing that grow more and more as the years progress.
So, you know, we've identified the goal. The goal is to make money, right? Long term, to make money. Sometimes it's like, well, I'm going to help somebody out because I have a friend who's going to rent it. And I've seen that scenario. But you always have to look at it. Fine, maybe you're giving your friend a discounted rent, whatever it might be. But if they end up moving out, you need to make sure that you're not going to get burned. And at least you know what the cash flow numbers are. And we'll talk about cash flow in a couple more minutes. But first, we need to find the potential property. So we've expanded our search from that home down the street that caught our eye, and it's not going to work, to potentially looking at townhomes all the way to multifamily, whatever it might be. So we're going to set up a search. Now, what we're looking for in these searches is identifying locations that have best rental prices combined with the lowest acquisition cost. Okay. So this takes a little hunting. You know, you can look at certain parts of the Twin Cities and you can find very inexpensive homes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's a good rental property if the rents don't justify it. So a simple way is looking for properties where you can get roughly 1% of the purchase price as the monthly rental. So, for example, if you have a $175,000 home, that you could get $1,750 a month in rent. You know, some great tools for researching rent: Craigslist. Everybody, for the most part, advertises their rentals and or fake rentals on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. But you're able to kind of track how much things might actually be going for in a given area. So we look at the rent and then the acquisition cost, and then what's the appreciation? What's the likelihood of that value going up? So, I mean, if I look back a couple of years, I was really pumping the Longfellow neighborhood, really hardcore, and saying, you know, this is an awesome spot to be buying rental properties. Now, my opinion has changed, but to other parts of Minneapolis where I think it's going to have the best bet. But you know what? The ones in Longfellow are now worth a good 25 to 30, 40% more than they were back when I was talking about purchasing them. And the same was true with the Midway back in 2012. I was buying Midway. It's going to be an amazing spot. Now look at what those houses are going for. So you got to find the locations that you know are going to have good growth. And there are still some amazing locations in Minneapolis. Just as one example, and St. Paul has other awesome possibilities as well. So it's structuring a good search. If you want to set up a search, and if you're ever curious, you know, feel free, you can reach out to us. I'd be happy to walk through setting up a rental property search to help find the best values in rentals. We also need to make sure that we're calculating, once we find the property, you know, what are going to be the costs to fixing this up. And you brought up a great point as we were putting together the show, Chad, about, you know, what kind of materials you want to put in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, utilizing the
Yeah, low-cost materials with high durability. So you're going to want to do laminate countertops, easy to clean backsplashes. Backsplashes add a lot of wow, and it's a lot easier to clean ceramic and porcelain and glass than
like a plastic surround on the tub versus a tile surround. You know, you want to be able to turn this properly.
Mm-hmm. Laminate floors that snap together easily and don't get scratched if you allow pets and kids in the home. Stuff that cleans real easy. So maybe getting the cabinets, instead of getting them replaced, getting a nice, thick, hard coat of enamel on.
Right. If you go with, you know, more expensive materials and the stuff starts to get destroyed, you know, you're basically throwing money. I mean, personally, I think carpet is a huge waste that, you know, it pretty much every renter or two is going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at, you know, $1,000 to $3,000 to replace it every time you turn the property. Well, if you have a 1-year lease and you're only cash flowing $300, mm-hmm. there goes all your profit.
Another thing a lot of landlords do is home warranties and buying good home warranties, where if an appliance or a major mechanical system has a failure, they'll come out and try and fix it. And a lot of them, if they can't fix it after that first time coming out, they replace it on the next time. So look into these plans, but make sure you read the fine print and buy a good one.
Right, because fine print, I have found ones that won't do it for rental properties. So yeah, you gotta be careful on that. So I had talked about the cash flow worksheet. So once you've identified a property, you identified the costs to fix it up, you've identified the rent, we put that into a cash flow worksheet, which will tell us, and along with that, we put in real estate taxes, estimated property management if we need it, you know, all the utility costs, if that's something that the landlord's paying. And this will break down not only what the monthly cash flow is, but also what are your tax benefits on it.
Such as depreciation.
Yes. Yep. It'll also calculate appreciation, so you can figure out what the value might be long term, and market capitalization rate. So this can really tell you what is the property truly worth as a income property. You know, and this goes back to that, what's your goal? And this sheet should put it in fine print. Okay, here's really what this property is. And back to the beginning of the show, that house down the street will never pass this test. You know, you put everything in there.
95 out of 100.
Exactly. Yeah, if you want this cash flow sheet that we've put together, once again, it's a free thing. We can easily email it out. Feel free to reach out anytime.
It's actually an interactive spreadsheet, mm-hmm. where as you enter and change numbers, it changes the subsequent numbers as a result of the ones dependent on the numbers you change.
You know, one nice thing now is the loan requirements, the restrictions on purchasing rental properties is becoming a little more lenient.
Yeah.
So now you can buy properties I've seen now as low as 15% down. That's another thing a lot of people don't realize when starting to look at rental properties. They think they may be able to do it with just the 3-5% down. Now, that is the case if you're doing an owner occupancy multifamily, you might be able to do that. But for the most part, you know, it used to be 20-25%. Now they go down to 15%. But here's the big one, is they are no longer requiring the 2 years of rental history of being a property manager to waive the debt-to-income ratio guideline, which basically is that you need to make enough money to cover both payments, but all you need is the lease, and that will cover it. Okay, have any questions, give us a call, 612-207-5388. We'll be back next week.